Hare Krishna. We welcome you on the most auspicious occasion of Sri Gaur Purnima, the appearance day of Sri Krishna Chaitanya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We say that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But how do we know? I mean, in one sense, one could question how we know anything. And in general, there are three processes of knowledge. One is direct perception. Pratyaksha, which has its limitations. Then another is anuman, or inference, or logic and reason, or deduction. That also has its deficiencies. But the third process, shabda, hearing from authorities, that is considered the best. Hearing from the Lord Himself. So the Lord's words are recorded in scriptures, and so in Vedic civilization we accept the words of the scriptures of the Vedas as perfect, because it is apurusheya, it is not created by any human being, but it comes from the Lord Himself. But even then, it is difficult to know the real truth of the scriptures, because there are so many scriptures, and they say so many different things, and it's hard to know what is what. Sometimes it is said that the devil also cites scripture to suit his purposes. So how do we know the real truth of the scriptures? So there's one verse in the Mahabharata that says there are so many scriptures and they say so many different things, and there are so many different sages and they also have different theories and philosophies. So how do we know the real truth? And the answer is given, mahajana yena gatasa pantha, that the truth of the scriptures is enshrined within the heart of the hearts of the mahajans, or great devotees, and therefore one should follow the path of the mahajans. Still, that raises another question. Who is a Mahajan? And ultimately, as we consider and analyze and discuss, we come to the point that one cannot understand anything of God without the mercy of God. We can only understand who is God by the mercy of God. We can understand who is a Mahajan, who is a great soul, by the mercy of God. And I thought to discuss today the story of the transformation of a very learned scholar and logician who did not believe that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he also had his references from scripture to support his position. The history is that after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas and left his hometown of Navadvip, he came to Jagannath Puri. And when he saw the deity of Lord Jagannath, he was overwhelmed with ecstasy. Recently, we have been discussing in relation to Sri Madhavendra Puri and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the mood of separation. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as we understand, was Krishna, but in the mood of Radharani in separation from Krishna. So the whole way that he was walking to Jagannath Puri, he was feeling separation from Krishna. And eventually he became so eager to see the Lord, because the deity of Lord Jagannath is Krishna himself, that he just broke away from his companions and rushed into the Jagannath temple. And when he saw the deity of Lord Jagannath, he didn't see the deity of Lord Jagannath. He saw Krishna. And feeling that he had gained the master of his life and soul, he fainted in ecstasy. So, anyway, there was quite a commotion in the temple, and devotees gathered around Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was in such a deep state of internal ecstasy that there were practically no symptoms of life in his body. People thought he may have left his body. And finally, they took a little cotton swab and feather, and they detected a very slight movement of air through his nostrils, and they concluded he's alive. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was the chief pundit of King Prataparudra, and so he was informed of the incident. He came to the site, ascertained that this young sannyasi was in a very extreme state of transcendental ecstasy, and had the body removed to his home. And eventually Nityananda Prabhu and the others caught up and heard the story and came to Sarvabhauma's home. Now, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had a sister, and his sister was married to a devotee named Gopinathacharya. Gopinathacharya was a real devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he was thinking Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is like a young man who has taken sannyas and quite handsome. So he thought that this young sannyasi may have difficulty maintaining his vows because he's so young and handsome. And he thought that to fix him in his renunciation of sannyas, he should teach him Vedanta. Now, for anyone who knew that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually Krishna, this proposal was absurd. And we also discussed in relation to Madhavendra Puri how his disciple, or Ramachandra Puri, had been so foolish as to dare to instruct his spiritual master. So here was Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He was going to instruct the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Gopinathacharya said, actually, it's not what you think. This young sannyasi is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, no. No. He is Krishna in the guise of a devotee. He has come in the guise of a devotee in Kali Yuga. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, but according to scripture, there is no incarnation in the age of Kali. And he quoted Triyuga, that one of the Lord's names is Triyuga. Triyuga means that he appears only in three ages, Satvayuga, Tretayuga, and Dwaparayuga. He doesn't appear in Kali Yuga. But Gopinathacharya quoted many other verses to establish that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's a verse in the Bhagavatam that uses that same word, Triyuga, that same name, but says that the Lord appears in Kali Yuga as a Channa avatar. Channa avatar means an avatar, an incarnation of God, who is covered. So he's called Triyuga not because he doesn't come in Kali Yuga, but because in Kali Yuga he doesn't assert himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but covers his original identity and acts as a devotee. And there are other verses which we may discuss in the evening. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya heard it all, but he wasn't convinced. He was very knowledgeable, he was proud, and he didn't accept it. And Gopinathacharya said that when you receive the mercy of the Lord, then you will understand. Only one who has received the Lord's mercy can understand the truth of the Supreme Personality of God. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu listened to the whole discussion, and the devotees were very upset with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, he is my elder, he is my superior, he's just like a father to me. He's trying to protect me. So we honor his words. So it was fixed that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya would instruct Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Vedanta philosophy. So, day after day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat silently listening. And after about 6 days, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, you're just sitting and listening for 6 days, but you're not saying anything. Is it that you're not able to understand what I'm saying about Vedanta? And Mahaprabhu replied, I can understand Vedanta very easily, but I cannot understand what you're saying. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, what do you mean? And then, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained, and by Mahaprabhu's mercy, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had a revelation that the young sannyasi actually is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he became a great devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he had many of his own disciples, so many of his own disciples. So that became a major event in Jagannath Puri, and the news spread that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the most learned scholar and the logician and the pundit, spiritual advisor to the king, had become a devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya composed 100 verses in glorification of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But we don't have all of them. But fortunately, two of them were preserved. And they, one in particular, encapsulates the whole mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so I thought to read it and discuss it. But I'll begin by reading a few of the verses leading up to it to give you an idea of the beautiful pastimes of the Lord and his devotees in Jagannath Puri. So after Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya became convinced by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, I'll read more. There's just so much nectar here. And Nityananda Prabhu, most merciful Nityananda Prabhu, has said we can go as long as we want. But don't get worried, we're not going to overdo it. So after this discussion, then, so the next day, the Bhattacharya went to visit the temple of Lord Jagannath. But before he reached the temple, he went to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, Chapter 6, The Liberation of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Now, text 240. When he met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Bhattacharya fell down flat to offer him respects. After offering various prayers to him, he spoke of his previous bad disposition with great humility. Then the Bhattacharya asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which item is the most important in the execution of devotional service? The Lord replied that the most important item was, it's all over. It's written all over the temple room. The chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Well, you're also right, but in keeping with today's theme, the chanting of the holy name. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quoted, Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalona, Steva, Nasteva, Nasteva, Katira, Nita. In this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only means of deliverance is the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. There is no other way. No other way, no other way. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very elaborately explained the Harinama verse of the Brihadaranyaka Purana. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was struck with wonder to hear his explanation. Gopinath Acharya reminded Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, my dear Bhattacharya, what I had foretold to you has now taken place. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Previously, Gopinath Acharya had informed Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya that when he would be blessed by the Lord, he would thoroughly understand the transcendental process of devotional service. This prediction was now fulfilled. The Bhattacharya was fully converted to the cult of Vaishnavism, and he was following the principles automatically without being pressured. Earlier, Gopinath Acharya and all the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were trying to convince Bhattacharya of the identity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the value of devotional service. But he could not appreciate their instructions and he remained stubbornly attached to his conceptions. But when he received the Lord's mercy, then automatically, without any pressure from his family members and friends and well-wishers, he spontaneously began to follow the principles of devotional service. In the Bhagavad Gita 2:40, it is therefore said, Svapam apyat asya dharmasya trayate mahatopayat. Simply by performing a little devotional service, one can escape the greatest danger. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had been in the greatest danger because he had adhered to Mayavad philosophy. Somehow or other, he came into contact with Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and became a perfect devotee. In this way, he was saved from the great fall down of impersonalism. This is also a very important point because our constitutional position is eternal servant of Krishna, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if we are not acting in our constitutional position, it means we have fallen down from our constitutional position. Whatever the position is, we've fallen down from our original position. And so to adhere to the impersonal view that there's no difference between the individual soul and the supreme soul, or in other words, to want to merge and become one with the supreme, is a fallen condition. Sometimes people raise the question, it's a legitimate question, if we are originally Krishna conscious, how could we have fallen into the material world? So some philosophers say that, well, we didn't fall from direct relationship with Krishna, but we fell from the Brahma Jyoti. And Srila Prabhupada's reply to that is, to be in the Brahma Jyoti is already a fallen position. So, there's the question of falling from the Brahma Jyoti. You're already fallen if you're in the Brahma Jyoti. The impersonal spiritual light effulgence from the transcendental body of Krishna. Offering his obeisances to Gopinath Acharya, the Bhattacharya said, "Because I am related to you and you are a devotee, by your mercy the Lord has shown mercy to me." So this is also a very important point, that the Lord's mercy follows the devotee's mercy. There's a discussion. We're saying, okay, but it's only by the Lord's mercy that one can appreciate devotional service and follow bhakti yoga. But then what determines who gets the Lord's mercy? So someone could say, well, the Lord is free. He can bestow his mercy upon whomever he wishes. But that cannot be the answer, because the Lord is the super soul. He's the supreme father of every living entity. He's equal to everyone. So it cannot be that the Lord chooses yes for one and no for another. So the Lord is equal to everyone. He's impartial. So then, what's the explanation? So another explanation is the mercy of the devotee. But one may say, well, the devotee also is impartial. But if we read the description of the Madhyam Bhakta, we find that he distinguishes between four categories: the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the devotees, the innocent, and the envious. And he deals differently with each category. Prema, Maitri, Kripa, Peksha. He gives his love to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He makes friendship with devotees. He gives mercy to the innocent. And he neglects the envious. So the function of giving mercy belongs to the devotee, and by definition, the preacher, the devotee acting on the second class platform, he does make distinctions. And then, when the devotee gives his mercy to some soul, the Lord gives his mercy. Why? Because the Lord loves his devotees. The Lord actually has nothing to do with anyone or anything other than his devotees. So if a devotee prays to the Lord, please be merciful to some other soul, innocent person or other devotee, then the Lord will give his mercy out of his affection for his devotee. So someone might say, well, that means that the Lord is partial to his devotees. And that is true. But that is not a fault. That is not a dushanam, a fault, but it is a bhushanam. It is an ornament or decoration of the Lord. And Srila Jiva Goswami has discussed different reasons why one should surrender to the Lord and serve him. And one is, because he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Another is because it's our constitutional position. But Jiva Goswami says of all the reasons, the best reason is because the Lord is so affectionate to his devotees. So we become a devotee, we get the Lord's affectionate care. And reading of the Lord's affectionate pastimes with his devotees should make us think, I would also like to have that mercy. I would also like to become a devotee and have that mercy. And it is possible for each and every one of us. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, because I am related to you and you are a devotee, by your mercy, the Lord has shown mercy to me. You are a first-class devotee, whereas I am in the darkness of logical arguments. Because of your relationship with the Lord has bestowed his benediction upon me. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased with this humble statement. After embracing the Bhattacharya, he said, now go see Lord Jagannath in the temple. After visiting the temple of Lord Jagannath, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya returned home with Jagadananda and Damodar, like two associates of Mahaprabhu. The Bhattacharya brought large quantities of excellent food remnants blessed by Lord Jagannath. All this prasadam was given to his own Brahmin servant, along with Jagadananda and Damodar. Sarvabhauma then composed two verses on the leaf of a palm tree. In those days, they didn't have paper like we have. So they would use the leaves of a palm tree, and they would have like a stylus, something that would make an indentation in the fabric of the palm leaf. Even now we talk about the leaves of a book, because originally they actually wrote on leaves. Giving the palm leaf to Jagadananda Prabhu, the Bhattacharya requested him to deliver it to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jagadananda and Damodar then returned to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, bringing him both the prasad and the palm leaf on which the verses were composed. But Mukunda Datta took the palm leaf from the hands of Jagadananda before he could deliver it to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Can anyone guess why? Then please listen attentively and you will hear the answer. Mukunda Datta then copied the two verses on the wall outside the room. After this, Jagadananda took the palm leaf from Mukunda Datta and delivered it to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As soon as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu read the two verses, he immediately tore up the palm leaf. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was playing the part of a devotee. And in Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's prayers, he acknowledges that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the ideal exemplar or acharya, did not tolerate the blasphemy of equating a living entity with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I mean, as it is, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was rather averse to hearing praise of himself. But when it came to equating him as with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he would not tolerate it. To show the example that no living entity should accept to be called God. There are so-called gods in India who are accepted by God by some foolish followers. And sometimes they say, well, I don't say I'm God, but my followers say I'm God. But I don't say I'm God. And Srila Prabhupada says that if your followers wrongly say that you're God, then it's your duty to correct them. And the only time that I can recall in the whole history of the Krishna consciousness movement that Srila Prabhupada ever actually expelled someone from the society was when four disciples somehow came up with the idea that actually Prabhupada was God. And Prabhupada took that so seriously, he expelled them from the association of devotees. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, he would not tolerate, although he actually was Krishna, but because he was playing the part of a devotee and setting the example, he would not accept it. And so, as soon as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu read the two verses, he immediately tore up the palm leaf. However, all the devotees read these verses on the outside wall. And they all kept them within their hearts. The verses read as follows. And this is the verse that we have on the board. So, first we'll say the prayer of invocation. Please repeat. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So, please repeat. Vairagya. Vidya. Nija. Bhakti Yoga. Shiksha. Artham. Eka. Purusha. Purana. Sri Krishna. Chaitanya. Sarira. Dhari. Kripa. Ambudi. Ya. Tam. Aham. Prapadye. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga.
Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga.
Shikshartham Eka Purusha Purana.
Shikshartham Eka Purusha Purana.
Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sarira Dhari. Kripam Buddhir Yas Tamaham Prapadye. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. Shikshartham Eka Purusha Purana. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sarira Dhari. Kripam Buddhir Yas Tamaham Prapadye.
Vairagya
Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. Shikshartham Eka Purusha Purana. Krishna Chaitanya Sarira Dhari. Vambudiryastham Aham Prapadye. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. Shikshartham Eka Purusha Purana. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sarira Dhari. Kripam Buddhiryastham Aham Prapadye. Ladies.
Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Vaishnava-vidya-nija-bhakti-yoga Siksha-artameka-purusha-purana Shri Krishna Chaitanya Sarira Dhari Kudam Udhirya Samaham Prapadye Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga Shiksha Tameka Purusha Purana Shri Krishna Chaitanya Sarira Dhari Kripam Pudyaya Samaham Prapadye Vairagya
Vairagya
Detachment from everything that does not help develop Krishna consciousness. Vidya, knowledge. Nija, own. Bhakti yoga, devotional service. Shiksha, artham, just to instruct. Ekaha,
the single person.
Purusha,
the supreme person.
Purana,
very old,
or eternal. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, of Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sarira Dhari, accepting the body. Kripa, Ambudi, the ocean of transcendental mercy.
Ya,
who?
Tam,
unto him.
Aham,
I. Prapadye,
surrender.
Translation. Let me take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who has descended in the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to teach us real knowledge, his devotional service, and detachment from whatever does not foster Krishna consciousness. He has descended because he is an ocean of transcendental mercy. Let me surrender unto his lotus feet. Purport. This verse and the following verse are included in the Chaitanya Chandrodaya Nataka 674 and 75 by Sri Kavi Karnapur. The next verse. Kalanashtam Bhakti Yoga Rajamya Paduskartum Krishna Chaitanya Nama Avirbhutastasya Padaravinde Gadam Gadam Lilayam Chitta Bringa. Let my consciousness, which is like a honeybee, take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has just now appeared as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to teach the ancient system of devotional service to himself. This system had almost been lost due to the influence of time.
So these two verses are very significant, and the first one in particular is often quoted by Srila Prabhupada and our acharyas. Vairagya Vijinija Bhakti Yoga Siksharatam Eka Purusha Purana. The Lord descended to teach Vairagya, detachment, Vidya, knowledge, and Bhakti Yoga, devotional service. In the beginning, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, like many less fortunate souls, could not appreciate that Bhakti Yoga, or devotional service to Krishna, was the supreme occupational duty. Although it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, Savaipum Sankaro Dharmo Yato Bhaktira Dhoksaja, that the supreme occupation for the living entity devotional service to Krishna, or that which awakens love for Krishna. So they think that you have to cultivate, that they think that bhakti is something like a material, emotional process, which is good for less qualified people, like in their conception, that okay, that's sort of, it's a, like that's good for Vaishyas and Sudras and, you know, lower class people. But higher grade people, they can cultivate knowledge and detachment. But the fact is that the independent cultivation of knowledge and detachment are not effective. But if one engages in devotional service, real knowledge and detachment follow. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita, that anyone who renders devotional service unto Vasudev, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Janayati Asu Vairagya Dhyanam Chayad Ahaitukam, very quickly, transcendental knowledge and detachment from anything that is not favorable to Krishna consciousness follow. So that idea, that stereotype that the bhaktas, they're like emotional, they, you know, they can't really understand knowledge, they can't be detached, but they're okay, let them sing and dance. And, but actually, in the devotional line, they're very great scholars, the greatest scholars. I mean, beginning from Lord Brahma himself, but yes, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers, Srila Prabhupada said Jiva Goswami is the greatest philosopher of all time, and he will remain the greatest philosopher of all time. So there's a whole science of bhakti yoga that has been explicated by very learned scholars in the devotional line. And as we saw in the case of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, that without the Lord's mercy, he couldn't really understand what was in the Vedas, although it was clear to the devotees. So this detachment, vairagya, Srila Prabhupada very kindly explains, it's not detachment per se, but it's detachment from anything unfavorable to Krishna consciousness. He says that negation of that which is unnecessary, like anartha. Anartha is not required, not wanted, not necessary. Does not imply negation of the essential. Negation of the negative does not necessitate negation of the positive. So devotees, they fix themselves on the positive form of the Lord, which is not material. And by focusing on the positive form of the Lord, they automatically lose interest in the negative forms of illusory maya. And knowledge also follows jnana or vidya. Knowledge, as Srila Prabhupada says, means to be able to distinguish between matter and spirit and the controller of both. So the devotee automatically develops that knowledge that he's not the body, which is matter, but he's the soul, which is spirit, and he's part and parcel of the Supreme Soul, or Krishna, who is the controller of both matter and spirit. So he has perfect knowledge, and because he has perfect knowledge, he's naturally detached, because if he knows he's not the body, why should he be attached to things that may be favorable for the temporary happiness of the body, but which are unfavorable for the progressive development of Krishna consciousness. And so there are many devotees who are great renunciates, but the ultimate principle is yukta vairagya. Srila Rupa Goswami has explained the science of devotional service in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the Nectar of Devotion, the complete science of Bhakti Yoga. And after listing 64 items of devotional service, he discusses other items that one might think are devotional service, but which are not. And he explains why he has not included them in the list. And those items include jnana and vairagya, the separate cultivation of knowledge, which without bhakti, without Krishna consciousness, without the Lord's mercy, leads to the impersonal conclusion that I am spirit and I'm Brahmasmi, I'm spirit, and I will merge into the Supreme Brahman and lose my individual identity. Uh, you know, the usual, the drop merges and becomes one with the ocean. That type of spiritual suicide. And vairagya can lead someone to reject even things related to Krishna. Like someone may be doing severe austerities and someone will offer some mahaprasad. No, I can't take, I'm doing my own. So that becomes an offense. It becomes an offense in rejecting mahaprasad, rejecting the Lord's mercy. So Srila Rupa Goswami then discusses that, all right, if vairagya is not an item of devotional service, then what? I mean, obviously, enjoyment is not an item of devotional service. Material enjoyment is not an item. And then if renunciation is not an item, then what's left? So Rupa Goswami has written a beautiful verse and a very important verse that explains how a devotee can live in the world without becoming materially attached. And at the same time serve Krishna. And he says, anasattasya vishayam. First thing, anasattasya means without attachment, vishayam, to the sense objects. Understanding their relationship with Krishna. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandha Yukta Vairagya Uchite. They use everything in the service of the Lord, who is the proprietor of everything. And our Srila Prabhupada, his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they showed what Yukta Vairagya gives, engaging everything to broadcast the glories of the Lord. There was a popular so-called saintly person in India, and it was reputed that he was so saintly that if anyone offered him money, his hand would like immediately shrink away. And Prabhupada said, but if anyone offers us money, we will take it and use it for Krishna. One example that Srila Prabhupada has given is that suppose someone drops his wallet on the street, purse. So one person will see that purse and open it up and look inside and, oh, lots of good things here. Money, credit cards, social security numbers. Oh, and he takes it. So that person is a thief. Another person sees the purse. And, oh, someone lost their purse. It's not mine. I'm not going to get involved with it. It's not mine. It's someone else's. And he carries on. So that's good in the sense that the person is not a thief, but it's not complete. That's like the renunciate. But another person will find the purse and look inside. Oh, this belongs to so and so. Let me find out that person, get in touch with that person, and return the person's lost property. And that's the mood of the devotee. He doesn't just pass by things, but he sees things of value, and he searches out who is the owner. And the owner is Krishna. And so it should be given to Krishna, in Krishna's service. And what does that mean, Krishna's service? Well, Krishna, and it's a very appropriate to consider today, Krishna says, paritranaya sadunam vinashayach duskritam dharma samstapanarthaye sambhavami yuge yuge, that he appears in every millennium to deliver the devotees, to annihilate the miscreants, and to reestablish the principles of religion. That is why the Lord descends. That is his mission. That is his purpose. So we should use his property for his mission, to serve the devotees, to defeat the atheistic propaganda, and to establish real religious principles. So that is yukta vairagya. That is how a devotee lives in the world and does not become entangled. And opposed to yukta vairagya is falgu vairagya, in which someone artificially rejects everything material. Well, he thinks it's material, and he artificially rejects it. And that phrase comes from a river in Bihar called the Falgu River, and it looks like dry land. If you look at it, it looks like dry land, like sand. But underneath, there's a whole river, a whole current flowing underneath. So the impersonalists, they try to be very renounced, but under the surface, they are usually filled with material desires because they don't have a higher taste. When devotee, yes, another wonderful verse, yet pada pankaja pilasa vilasa bhaktya, that the desire for fruitive work, that means you work to get money to enjoy sense gratification, is very deep-rooted. And material desires flow like waves in a river without cessation. So the context of the verse is that those who are not devotees, like karmis, gyanis, yogis, they cannot overcome deep-rooted desires for sense gratification, which flow like waves in a river. But devotees who have taken shelter of Krishna, engage in the service of Krishna, Vasudeva, they are able to overcome deep-rooted desires for material enjoyment because they relish pleasure from the tips of the toes of the lotus feet of the Lord. And Srila Prabhupada explains that yes, the waves of a river flow without cessation. And you cannot stop them. But sometimes, at the time of high tide, the tide from the ocean, the waves from the ocean coming in become more prominent than the waves of the river going into the ocean. So the idea is that when one's desires to serve Krishna become very strong, that desire is more powerful than the desires for sense gratification, and the spiritual desires to serve Krishna overwhelm the material desires for sense gratification. And therefore the devotee is absorbed in always thinking of how to serve Krishna, how to spread Krishna consciousness. So we cannot eliminate desire, but we change the desire, we change the quality of the desire from the inferior desire for sense gratification to the superior desire for devotional service. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, or Krishna came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to teach Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. And he is an ocean of mercy. We are all so unqualified. The Bhagavad Gita says, Yesham Twantagatam Papam Janmanam Punya Karmana, that one who is free from sinful actions and reactions and who has engaged in pious activities, he is eligible for devotional service. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so merciful that he gives everyone the opportunity, even sinful people who do not have much background in pious activities. And there are so many examples like Jagai and Madhai. And Tamaham Prapadye, so I surrender unto him. And so that should be our meditation today, how we can be recipients of the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Vairagya, develop detachment from anything that does not favor Krishna consciousness. And that follows when we become attached to Krishna, we naturally become detached from Maya. And share our good fortune with others. That was very much Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood. We discussed his mission. What is his mission? What does it mean to serve him? Well, Srila Prabhupada elaborated on that mission, Dharma Samstapanarthaya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Amar Agyai Guru Hai Tare Desh Yare Dege Tare Kaha Krishna Upadesh. Okay, Krishna came to speak the Bhagavad Gita. That is his mission. And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed that we should repeat the same message, Krishna Upadesh, the same message of Krishna, and preach. The verse uses the word guru. On my order, become a guru. Preacher means guru. Not necessarily Diksha Guru, but at least a type of Shiksha Guru. And that is service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that is service to Krishna. And that will absorb us, and that will purify our hearts, and that will make us attached to Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Śrīla Prabhupāda, and that will flood us with mercy. And as Śrīla Prabhupāda quoted a saying that he heard in his childhood, that if God with his 10 hands wants to take what you can hold on to with your 2 hands, how much can you hold on to? And if God wants to give you with his 10 hands, how much can you accept with your 2 hands? Because he can take away anything unfavorable for Krishna consciousness. We discussed this in Houston. Yasyaha manu grinami harishyeta dhanamshanai. That if someone has some material attachment and is unable to give it up on his own, but is sincere, then the Lord himself will take away the material attachment from the devotee, so that the devotee becomes free to make further progress in Krishna consciousness. And then when the devotee is actually detached, then the Lord gives the devotee more than the devotee could even imagine. Śrīla Prabhupāda said that whenever Krishna takes something away from a devotee, it's only to give the devotee something better. So sometimes the Lord does that if he's a devotee sincere but needs some help. The Lord will take away his material attachment, and then the devotee will be free to serve the Lord fully in this way, vairagya vidya nija bhakti yoga. Hare Krishna. And of course, I mean, we mentioned it earlier, but the process, the practical process that removes the dirt from the mirror of the mind, that means that it cleanses these material desires from the heart, is the is Nam Sankirtan, the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So whatever we do, we should chant Hare Krishna. Just the other day I read that even if one, whatever, has material desires, has engaged in sinful activities, if he just keeps chanting Hare Krishna, then everything will be all right. Just keep chanting. Okay. So are there any questions or comments? Yes.
A couple of questions. First question, in terms of receiving the mercy of the devotee, could it be said that anybody who takes prasada would, by Prabhupada mercy, be receiving, have access to Krishna's grace? And by the same way that anybody who says Hare Krishna by Prabhupada's grace and the grace of Sri Mahaprabhu, also would they receive Krishna's mercy?
Well, yes. You know, we quoted that verse. Tesham Twantikatam Papam Jananam Punyakarmanam. So that is certainly the devotee's mercy in a general sense, that you get prasad, that you hear the holy name. But that does not guarantee that you will take to the process of bhakti yoga. So many people get prasad, they don't take to Krishna consciousness. So many people hear the holy name, but they don't take to Krishna consciousness. But that counts as punya karmanam. It's like a pious activity, and when those pious activities reach a certain threshold, there's a good chance that the person can actually take to devotional service.
For the count is punya karmanam, do they have to recognize it as prasadam or consecrated food? And also, do they have to recognize that when they say Hare Krishna or hear Hare Krishna, that it's a name of God or someone thinks it's a name of God?
No. Agyata Sukriti, it counts as a pious activity performed without knowledge.
Another question. You said that Krishna is known as
Triyuga.
Triyuga. I thought it was accepted generally that in the fourth Yuga, Kali Yuga, he comes in a white form as Kalki Avatar. How does that square with the Triyuga name?
Well, Kalki comes at the end of Kali Yuga. At the end of Kali Yuga, there's no preaching. Kalki just comes and kills all the demons, which is almost everyone. So he's not the Yuga avatar. He doesn't present the Yuga Dharma. He comes at the very end and just kills almost everyone. So that's, he's like in a different category. He's not, I mean, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu definitely didn't fit the description of Kalki avatar. Any other questions or comments? Nimai Pandit Das.
When you are describing about that the verse was written on the leaf and then a devotee took it and wrote on the wall outside, so I was thinking, would it not be an offense to not follow the instructions of Lord Chaitanya, because Lord Chaitanya didn't want everybody to know that he played a part of a devotee, so he wanted everyone to worship, I mean, to see him as a devotee and not see him as God. So.
Well, I wouldn't say that. He was showing us the example of how a devotee should behave. And as a devotee, if someone says that we're Krishna, then we should reject that statement. But it doesn't mean that he didn't want people to know that he's God, because otherwise how did Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya know? He knew because of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. So some selected devotees who were recipients of his mercy knew. And that was his mercy. Yeah.
Now, you mentioned how the Holy Name is very important and the main process of chanting the Holy Name. So I was thinking, sometimes our chanting tends to reflect in anger. We should have the confidence and faith in the Holy Name that it all will chant the Holy Name and itself in our heart. At the same time, it can kind of tend to be anger and chanting. It will work. So what is the difference between mechanical chanting and chanting chanting without defense to the chanting attentively?
You just said what the difference is. In mechanical chanting, you're like a machine. The machine keeps repeating whatever it's supposed to do, and it's not conscious of what it's doing. But offenseless chanting means attentive chanting, and that means a conscious effort to articulate and hear each mantra, each name, each syllable. And that takes some effort and practice. But we have to do it. And chanting loudly can help. The more you give yourself to the process, the more Krishna reciprocates. So, yeah, kirtan and japa, or japa. Nityananda Prabhu. Oh, well, there's, yeah, what is your name?
Michael.
Michael.
I have a question about this feeling of separation that you were talking about this information here. It's known that Krishna is present in his names, that he's also present in the hearts. So once we've heard this knowledge and we've realized it, why is there still this issue of feelings of separation?
Yes, that is a good question. Just like Krishna's in your heart. That's very good. He's in the atom. He's in the space between the atoms. That's very good. What good does that do you? You want to have a relationship with him. You want to have a loving relationship with him. And to be and to enter a loving relationship with him, you have to really very strongly desire it. And that's what gives rise to feelings of separation. That you have that desire to serve him, to enter into a loving relationship. And somehow he's not accepting you. So you feel unworthy, that very humbly he's not accepting you. And in that humble mood of feeling unworthy, you cry out for his mercy.
I read Srila Prabhupada when he was asked this question about what is quality chanting. And one of his responses was that one should chant 16,000 rounds a day. And I was wondering, when I read that, I was thinking to myself, is he telling us that we should like to chant all the time? That is what it means to be quality, when one likes to chant all the time? Or that ultimately, by the time we end our lives, we should come to that point that we're always chanting because we realize that that is the most important and most beloved to the Supreme Lord? Or is there something else? That is my speculation. Is there something else that it really means to chant 16,000?
Well, maybe it will help if I give a fuller context. It began with Loganath Swami. Actually, I think you might have put together two conversations with Prabhupada. Yeah. So the first one was on Juhu Beach, and Loganath Swami asked Srila Prabhupada, you know, why have you prescribed 16 rounds? And Srila Prabhupada said, I haven't prescribed 16 rounds. But no, 16 minimum. I've prescribed 16 minimum. If you can chant 16,000, that's most welcome. 16 minimum. You know, you can increase the quota you set for yourself to be more than 16, but you can't set a quota for yourself that's less than 16. So that was that one. The other one was in Nairobi, and a disciple asked, you know, how do I know when I'm chanting with quality, you know? And Srila Prabhupada said, when the quality comes, you won't have to ask. You'll know. He said, it's just like if you're eating and relishing and digesting, you don't have to ask someone, am I getting satisfied by eating? You yourself will know. You don't have to get a certificate from someone else. And then he said that that quality comes when one, and he quoted this, Govinda Virahename, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Govinda, that the whole world is vacant in your absence. He said that is quality. Is that atasakti, like this advanced stage of shakti, like almost ecstatic love of Godhead. He said that now you chant as a matter of duty. And when the quality comes, then you won't chant just as a matter of duty, but you won't be able to stop chanting. We do chant as a matter of duty, and that gives us hope that in the future one day we may chant with the quality, that quality. But when the quality comes, then it's like Rupa Goswami, that what can I chant with one tongue and two ears? If I had millions of tongues and billions of ears, then I could begin to relish all the nectar in the holy name. He said that is quality. Now, we may find some relative gradations in the quality of our chanting without experiencing that quality. But it's the same principle. You yourself can feel the difference. And but that thing about he never Yeah, I mean, at the end of one's life, the devotee can dedicate himself fully to chanting the holy name and nothing else. It's a sort of traditional that at the end of his life the spiritual master will retire and engage in nirjan bhajan, solitary devotional service with maybe a few intimate disciples, and just chant the holy name. And Prabhupada said, but as for himself, he didn't want to do that. You know, he prayed for the benediction to die on the battlefield preaching. There was an exchange with Tamal Krishna Goswami and Srila Prabhupada. So Tamal Krishna Goswami brought up about nirjan bhajan. Prabhupada said, yes, that is one system. And you know, the Prabhupada said what his mood was. And then Tamal Krishna Goswami said, well, if that's your mood, then that will also be our mood. And Prabhupada said, yes, but it's up to each individual. If he wants to retire and absorb himself fully in nirjan bhajan and just chanting and hearing, he can do that. And sometimes it happens, and Tamal Krishna Goswami said it was even true of Srila Prabhupada, that although he wanted to die on the battlefield, but his physical condition was such that he couldn't really move. And so in a way he did engage in nirjan bhajan at the end. So sometimes it's like that. We may want to die on the battlefield, but our physical condition doesn't allow us. And then Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. All right. Okay, Gopi Gita.
Did it like to be praised as the Supreme Personality of Godhead? But then in other pastimes you see like the Mahaprakash Lila, where he seemed to take on the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And was that a distinction between the Lovely pastimes and the later sannyas pastimes? Or was, if you could just elaborate a little on that, on why there was differences in moods at different times?
Well, everyone has different moods at different times. And we come from Krishna, from Sri Krishna Chaitanya, so he also has different moods at different times. And one factor is the association he's in. So he showed the Mahaprakash to very intimate devotees. And he wanted to give them that mercy. But even outside of Navadvip, he showed Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, his six-armed form, Sadbhuj, and he showed Ramananda Rai that he was actually Radha and Krishna. But yeah, I mean, that's, in fact, I mean, not to get into a controversy, but, you know, some devotees, like, made the point that we shouldn't put peacock feathers on Gaur, because that like disturbs his mood of being a devotee. But the one answer is that he has many moods at different times. Sometimes he wears a peacock feather, even if he's not in the mood of showing himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he gets like in the mood of being a cowherd boy and just puts on the peacock feathers. There's different moods. We all do, and he does too. And because he does, we do. All right. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Shri Gaur Purnima Mahamahotsav ki jai.